You're listening to Downtown Depot, tracking the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm your host, Austin Meek. Some of you may know my wife and me as the people behind Pokio's, that red and white ice cream sandwich truck you've inevitably seen or heard driving around town. But this show won't be about that. On the face of things, this show's about Waco, and about how our little city on the Brazos is being developed. But it's really about you. How do you fit into Waco? What do you wish this city had, and what can you do to make that dream a reality? Waco's in the midst of a renaissance unlike anything it's seen in decades. Whether it's because of the meteoric rise of Fixer Upper and Magnolia, the growing popularity of Baylor University, or folks finally catching on to all the natural beauty this area has to offer, Waco is no longer just a bathroom break along I-35. It's become a destination in its own right, and that spotlight is bringing about significant changes in the downtown and beyond. On Downtown Depot, I'll be interviewing local industry innovators, civic leaders, and engaged citizens about developments in the city, economic predictions for its future, and how everyday people can get involved in the booming business climate of Waco. I encourage you to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter on our handle, Waco Business News. That's facebook.com/WacoBusinessNews and twitter.com/WacoBizNews. There, you'll be able to submit ideas for future guests, comments you might have on this show, or any questions about future developments, vacant buildings, or any new brands that might be coming to town. The idea is to make this show an accessible and useful tool for you to better understand what's really going on in your city. Now, we'll hear from our very first guest, the mayor of Waco, Kyle Deaver. Kyle, how are you?
Great, Austin. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. So thank you so much for joining us. It's our first episode and happy to have someone of your stature. I know it's not an easy billing to get on Kyle's schedule, but you were able to make a little time for us. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about your tenure so far as mayor. So you took the mayorship, was it May of 2016?
So I was voted in May without an election and then took office the first council meeting in June. So I've been on the job now for about a little over 3 months.
And what have been your impressions so far of the job and really what its requirements are of you?
You know, it's been interesting following Malcolm in this job. Malcolm Dunk Jr. was the previous mayor, as most of your listeners will know, and he really made this a full-time job for himself. And so I have not been able to do that because I've got another job. My brother and I practice law here in town, but it's still pretty intense, and it varies from week to week with meeting schedules, but it's pretty time intensive. But it's also very rewarding. People tell you it's a thankless job, but it's really not. It's extremely rewarding, and really, I enjoy 90% of what I do in it.
So your involvement in the private sector is through American Bank.
Right.
And through Deaver & Deaver, the law firm that your brother John and you
have.
Yeah,
and we have a title company called American Guarantee Titles. So those are kind of our three things.
So are there any traits that you learned working in the private sector for as long as you have that have translated directly over to your work here as mayor?
I think so. I mean, I think, first of all, I think legal training helps considerably. And when you're trying to analyze situations, opportunities, problems that confront the city. But I think having a business background is really helpful. It kind of gets you out of the academic and into the real world of what works and what doesn't work and what you can expect. And I think just learning how to work with people is also very important.
How would you characterize your style as a leader, whether it's as a mayoral leader or whether it was at American Bank or American Guarantee?
You know, I tend to be a little bit quieter than some. I'm not as wordy, and I tend to try to sit back and listen and analyze the situation and then only chime in when I think I've got something worth saying.
Was there someone you learned that from? Was that the way your father was or your mother was?
That's probably a trait I got from my parents and particularly from my dad. That's a good question. I haven't really thought about that much, but that probably is true.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun
seeing where you are now and the steps that you took to becoming mayor and all the people who you watched growing up here
sure.
in Waco and those different conversations you had over the years informed the man who you are today.
Yeah. Mayor Dupuy got me involved in doing work for the city on the Plan Commission several years ago. That was the first thing that I had done. I've done a lot of things on various nonprofit boards, but that was the first thing I had done that was connected to the city. And frankly, I never had given much thought even after that to running for city council. But the city does need people who have the ability, and that's one thing with my job is I have some flexibility in my time. And the city needs people who have that ability to step up and do the work. And, honestly, we've got such good staff. We've got great city management and all the staff that surrounds the council do such a good job that it makes it a pleasure to do the work.
Well, your wife, Diane, and you have been able to be involved in many things across the city, very notably the work with the zoo, which has always been admirable and something that's close to my wife, Julia's, and my heart.
Yeah.
But you've been in Waco much longer than when you were old enough to be on city council or
right.
be involved with the zoo or anything else. Tell a little bit about your history with the area and growing up.
You know, my parents grew up here. I grew up here. I was actually not born here. My dad was in the Air Force following his time with ROTC at Baylor. So I was born in Clovis, New Mexico, but got back here at 2 years old and have been here ever since. I've been able to watch the city grow and prosper, and the change over the last 10 years, and particularly over about the last 5 years, has just been remarkable. And it's the kind of thing that you always hope for as you're growing up here, and you see the potential, and now we're able to see some of it being realized, and it's just a very exciting time for Waco.
Well, and that's part of the impetus of me wanting to talk about this topic on this show is just to make sure that everyone in Waco realizes how special this is. As someone who's lived here for 50 years, you know that it wasn't always peachy in Waco.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that I've always loved Waco. I don't know exactly why that is, but I've always felt like Waco was a great place to live and a great place to raise a family. But it certainly has been lacking in its recreation. Recreation is probably not the right word. Entertainment options.
Sure.
I mean, we've always had this fantastic park in Cameron Park, but honestly, until they did the bond election and did all the improvements out there and got people to start using that park, it wasn't as safe as it should have been. And so when I was in college, very few people went to Cameron Park. Now you drive through and you see people from all walks of life just running, walking their dogs, playing with their kids. It's so great to see people in the park. I mean, I think Cameron Park is one of the most important things that we have in our city, Cameron Park and then the river. Those two things really set us apart from many other communities that just don't have that kind of recreation opportunity here and that we have here. And so I think, we can just build on that. And the development that is starting to happen downtown and on the river is just going to continue to get better every year. And I think it's just happening fast now. That's fine.
That's a great point, Kyle. Here we are talking with Kyle Deaver, mayor of Waco, because when I find myself, quote unquote, bored, I live downtown and there's something to do every single night. It's not 1,000 things to do as if I lived in Austin or Dallas
right,
or
sure.
elsewhere. All I have to do in that moment is drive 10 minutes and I'm out on the river.
Yeah.
Or I drive 30 minutes and I'm out at a buddy's ranch in Clifton and I'm dove hunting.
Right.
I mean, some of the best topwater bass fishing in all of Texas you can get right there on the Brazos. And I think it's hard for people to make the jump to think, okay, this is something that in my mind I've relegated to natural beauty status. When really you can get in there and you can get involved
yeah.
and be a part of that every single day.
Sure. Whether it's running or mountain biking or frisbee golf there are just innumerable things. And then you mentioned fishing. I mean, Lake Waco is such a great asset for our city, both from a water conservation standpoint and also from a recreation standpoint. We have enormous assets here in our city, and they're just now really being realized.
Well, and talking about the entertainment aspect, things for families to do downtown and friends to do downtown, I know the city has been working in conjunction with Catalyst Urban Group out in Dallas to head up the riverfront development.
Right.
We heard a lot about it a few months ago. I'm sure a lot of things are still happening under the works. Is an entertainment focus something that you guys have discussed with plans for developing the riverfront?
You know, I think that is part of their plan, and I think they will start to roll that out with more definition over the next few months. That process has been slowed a little bit by an environmental cleanup that we need to do down in that site, and we're working on that right now, and I think that will take a few months, but that project is very much moving forward. They're ready to go right now. As soon as we can get this this cleanup finished, they'll be ready to roll. That area had been used as a landfill years and years ago, I think many years ago, and so there's just some cleanup that needs to be done there.
Well, you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. We're speaking with Waco Mayor Kyle Deaver, who's been kind enough to give us a couple of minutes this morning. Now, in talking about entertainment and downtown, one thing that we'll look back on as a landmark moment for Waco is this designation as a cultural arts district. Can you talk a little bit about the work of Fiona Bond and countless others to get that?
You know, I think that's exactly the right way to say it. It's Fiona Bond and countless others. I mean, there have been many people who have laid the groundwork for this over many, many years. But Fiona has come in, and her energy and enthusiasm for that project have just taken it over the top. And I'm so proud of our community and the way they pulled together to make that happen. I think that we will see just tremendous benefits from that over the next, many years, from the ability to attract talent and also the ability to attract grant money that we wouldn't have access to if it weren't for the fact that we've now been designated as such.
So what exactly is the purpose of a cultural arts district?
You know, it is to bring, I think, recognition to the fact that you have established, that you have art and culture in a city, and that it is in a particular part of your city. It's not to the exclusion of other parts, but in order to bring focus to it, it's important to have a designated area. And we've got so much in terms of both visual and performing arts, and between Baylor and MCC and everything that's done here locally through the Civic Theater and the Waco Symphony, and we have more than we realize that we have. It's pretty rich, and then you take that to what's being done with live music down in the downtown district, what's happening at the silos, that's something that you might not think about being considered as part of a cultural district, but because it is a design-based business, it is considered part of that cultural art district, and I think was a big part of why we succeeded in being designated as such. But it will give us the ability now to go after grants from outside our community to help support the arts, like the National Endowment for the Arts and others that are similar. That we just haven't had access to before.
So in talking about Magnolia and their meteoric rise to fame and the incredible popularity they have now, how do you and the city council and the members of Waco capitalize on this time? You know, there is an incredible spotlight on the city right now. We've seen that the silo trolley has now gone into effect. Thousands of people have been using that. But how do we capitalize on the hard work and the success that Magnolia has gotten?
You know, I think one of the ideas of the silo trolley was to try to the first idea was to alleviate some of the parking problem that was occurring down there around the silo district. But I think the benefit that we're seeing from it is that a lot of people are riding the trolley now. They go to Magnolia, and then they have time after they've been to Magnolia to see other things. And so we're really trying to get those people into our other businesses in Waco and in downtown Waco. And I think that's working. And Chip and Joanna and their staff have really been good about recognizing that that's important and trying to promote their customers visiting other places of business in Waco while they're here, both restaurants and other shops. And I think it's, you know, I've seen it in places like Spice and other places where they seem to really be, there are lots of people there from out of town every day. And so I think that, and then, you know, I was at a public improvement district board meeting yesterday, and the city and the PID board and the businesses in the PID are all working together to try to clean up Waco, make it more attractive, and I think that's all working well. Dylan Meek, one of our council members, who same shares your last name, but I don't think it's any relation.
No relation, unfortunately.
Was able to get his old fraternity, Kappa Omega Tau, to come out and do cleanup days downtown, and that's been great. So there's just a lot of effort right now to put our best foot forward and make Waco as beautiful as it can be, and people are coming and enjoying it. And you know, there's a lot of people that are now talking about moving to Waco to retire or to bring their business here. So lots of good things happening.
One thing that I've noticed downtown, living there, is that it is cleaner. You know, the city council the PID board just approved additional funding.
Correct.
And then they are looking at tripling the budget that they have for downtown beautification processes.
Yeah.
Having people cleaning up trash, sweeping suites.
Yeah, they actually approved that yesterday. So that is going to happen, and that's really, really good news.
So when we look at the tenure of Malcolm Duncan and the way that Malcolm operates, you had already talked about Malcolm's an incredibly hard worker. He's there every single meeting, early, shaking hands. You have a different managerial style. When I think back to Malcolm's tenure, one thing that comes to mind is him really bridging the gap between Baylor University and the city and strengthening those ties. It sounds like you have also been instrumental in keeping those ties strong and strengthening the ties between the Waco City Council and other city groups. Talk a little bit about the differences in your approaches, but the benefits that you can have from, you know, the more measured approach that you took versus the more aggressive in your face, but it's going to get done approach that Malcolm had.
Yeah. So, first talking about Baylor, we had a meeting with Baylor yesterday morning with some of their key leaders and some key leaders from the city and from the county as well. There's no question, and everybody says it, and it's absolutely true. Baylor and Waco are inextricably linked. When good things happen at Baylor, it's good for Waco, and when good things happen in Waco, it's good for Baylor, and the opposite is true as well. We are working right now to find things that are common goals for both Baylor and Waco that we can work on together strategically and try to reach some greater heights on. And we have not fully identified those goals. We've been working on it now for 3 or 4 months, and we're getting close. But I'm really excited about the work that's being done there. You talk about working across groups, and I think Malcolm's work to found Prosper Waco, which came on the heels of other work that had been done with Imagine Waco and the Education Alliance that Mary Dupuy led and the community visioning process. I mean, these have all been building blocks, but Malcolm was able to then assemble the group to put Prosper Waco together, and he still chairs that board. And for those of you who may not have heard about Prosper Waco at this point, it is a community initiative that has three primary objectives, and that is to work on health, education, and financial security for our citizens. And it is a collaborative work that reaches across all the different nonprofits, city government, schools, and that's the way that we have continued to be able to collaborate. And the city fully supports that and is engaged with Prosper Waco. The summit for Prosper Waco is this coming Monday,
yes,
a week from yesterday. Well, I don't know what time when this airs, but it's coming up soon. And if it will be a chance for after a year and a half of this initiative being in place, for the leaders of that initiative to talk about all the great work that has been done there, and all the great work we have to do going forward.
So, your tenure as mayor will end in May 2018 unless there's a reelection.
Correct.
So we hope it'll continue to be longer than that. But when you think about at the end of your time as the mayor of Waco and as the steward of its future, one of them at least, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you think that Waco can realistically be as a city in the next 2 years or 5 years, whatever it might be for you?
You know, Austin, that's a tough one because I think a lot of the work that you do in this role is laying groundwork for future things. You know, I don't know that I will be able to look up at the end of 2 years or 4 years and say, look at all these things we've accomplished. I do think that we'll be able to see that the riverfront development is well underway, if not complete, as far as that the stage that we're talking about now. I think there are certain things that we'll be able to point to, but I can't take credit for those things.
Sure.
I mean, those things were already in the mill, and I will shepherd them forward. I hope that one of the legacies that I will leave is that we will have a stronger engagement across racial ties, and that some of the things that we've seen happen in other cities will not happen here in terms of racial violence and rioting. I'll say that our police force is very engaged in the community, and you know, as you look around and you see things that happen in other communities that worry you, I feel like we've got the right approach to that. And we're in the middle of beginning a search now for our next police chief. Our former police chief was just outstanding along those lines. And we've got to make sure that we continue that kind of leadership in our police force so that we don't ever get to that place. I think Waco has we certainly have a poverty problem. We're trying to address that, and I think if we can continue to make progress there, I'll count that as a success for me, but it won't be my work. I mean,
sure.
You know, and that's the thing about being mayor. It's hard to it's a little hard to understand until you're in there, is that you really are not you're bringing people together and helping them to find how they can plug in and make progress. But I just want Waco to be all that it can be, and I think we've got so many great people that are working on it and excited about it that I don't think there are any limits on what we can do.
You're listening to Downtown Depot on KWBU 103.3. I'm your host, Austin Meek, speaking with Mayor of Waco, Kyle Deaver. Now, Kyle, you mentioned the people who are involved in getting Waco to that next place. And it's not just you, it's you and all the people before you and all the people who are to come. What is the best way for a local Waco citizen, someone who maybe doesn't own a small business or isn't involved in a government position, to contribute to that growth? And how do we as citizens aid bringing Waco into the future?
You know, there are all kinds of ways for you to get involved. Most of the neighborhoods in Waco have a neighborhood association. And that's a great way to get involved in your community. And if you don't have a neighborhood association that covers your neighborhood, then you can get with the city and we'll help you put one together. The great thing about that is it helps the city to communicate with the neighborhoods and the neighborhoods to communicate with the city about issues that they're having. In addition to that, there are probably 20 different boards and commissions that we need local citizens to volunteer for. Everything from the airport to Parks and Recreation to the Plan Commission. There are just all kinds of things, and there it's almost certainly something that you would be interested in. And all you need to do for that is to get on the city's website and submit an application, because we are constantly looking for volunteers to serve on those committees. Beyond that, come to a city council meeting. And
it's great fun.
It can be, but we want to hear from you, and we're always always interested in talking to our citizens.
That's one thing that, having come from Austin and before that in Dallas, I've been so wildly impressed by is the accessibility of my city council members. Knowing that Dylan Meek is the leader of my neighborhood, and I can go to him with any questions I have, Dylan will have an answer.
Yep.
And even when you guys were going through the master planning process, and I went to multiple meetings that were a city representative saying, this is the plan we have, but I want to hear from you because your opinion is important and your opinion is going to inform these decisions. And being in a city like Waco gives you that operative. You have the responsibility as a citizen to be involved. We have local elections coming up. There are so many different ways that you can get involved, and a lot of that you can find on waco-texas.com, where you can see different ways you can get involved on the councils, or if you want to go to training for a community emergency response team, you know, different ways like you're talking about to be a part of the neighborhood and help usher Waco forward.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, and it is partly the size of Waco that makes it so so easy to get involved, that that is a real advantage over a huge city. That we have really got a great city council. Everybody that's on there is doing a good job for their district and for the city at large. And they are ready to listen to you. And you're right. When it came to the master plan, the comprehensive plan, there were a lot of changes that were made based on citizen input. It was not just a planner sitting in a room coming up with what he thought ought to happen over the next 25 years in Waco. It really was that planner coming up with that plan and then saying, now what do you think, and then adjusting based on what the citizens said.
Well, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us. We are so excited to have your expertise in this position at the city, helping guide Waco toward its greatest self. You've been listening to Downtown Depot on KWBU. Kyle, thank you so much for being our first guest.
Thank you, Austin. I really appreciate you having me here.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Hey, sounds good.
That was Mayor Kyle Deaver, our first guest here on Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. Now's a good time for you to find us on Facebook and Twitter at Waco Business News. That's facebook.com/WacoBusinessNews and twitter.com/WacoBizNews. I'd love to hear your thoughts on my interview with Kyle and get a little bit of participation for a section that I'm going to end every show with called What's Happening Here. The way that it works is that you'll submit an address to me on Facebook or Twitter of a property you've been interested in, and I'll reach out to the owner and figure out what's happening. Maybe it's a vacant building downtown that's been sitting there for decades, or a piece of property on the outskirts. I'll talk to the owner, learn what their plans are, and share that information with you. So send me those addresses at facebook.com/WacoBusinessNews or twitter.com/WacoBizNews. I'll take a look at the property information, and then we'll circle back with that in the following show. Now, next time on Downtown Depot, we're so excited to welcome Nancy Grayson, owner of Lula Jane's and founder of the Rappaport Academy. If you have any questions for Nancy, any ideas about what's happening in East Waco, or wondering what'll be popping up next, send those questions in and I'll be sure we get to them. But until then, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and this has been Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.